Thank you for being able to be a little flexible, to do things in a new way and take a few risks. As I mentioned earlier, our theme this month is belonging. So what does it mean, belonging? I think that is a provocative question this Sunday of Indigenous Peoples Day weekend. We in this congregation, for the most part, are not Indigenous. We are not of the Haudenosaunee. And yet here, our church sits on land that was taken from the original people of this land by our white forebears. So how is it that we belong here? Some might say we belong here because we've been here a long time. And other people might say we belong here because we own the land. And some might say we don't belong here because the land that we are on was stolen from the original people. And this is not just a theoretical question in our city. At the request of the mayor, Interfaith Works has held a series of dialogues asking, what should this city do about this? Do we officially change the name of this weekend to Indigenous Peoples Day? Do we do something different with Columbus Circle? Now, this sermon is not where you're going to get an answer to that, because this is not the right place for that question and answer. It does belong in the community of Syracuse. But this question does highlight that we often think that belonging is based on identity. One can be Haudenosaunee or Italian. My ancestors were Irish, and so I belong to the group called Irish Americans. But I have no connection or relation to that. My family has no customs that we could call Irish, or English, or Scottish. I have no known relative back in Ireland. I've never been to Ireland, so I am no more Irish American than I am Italian American. And so I think maybe belonging is not simply identity, but it may be easier for us to name identity. In our UU faith, belonging is really important. If you want to be an official member of this church, you have to sign the book. This is our book. And in preparation for this sermon, I did a sort of informal poll of my UU colleagues. Do you all have people sign the book? And they said, most of them said yes. And this is actually the first denomination I've ever been in where you actually sign a book. So I said, well, why do we sign the book? And I think it goes back to our Puritan or New England early history, where joining a parish meant that you were becoming a resident of a town. And it was not only a way to track membership in a congregation, it was also a way to track population in a village. That no longer works for us, but signing the book actually means that you are agreeing to the covenant, that those promises that we make to each other about how we will behave with one another. And since I brought it up as a prop, I'm going to have it with me in coffee hour. And if there's anybody here who hasn't signed the book, who would like to sign the book, it will be very easy this Sunday. You can talk to me. We are a people of covenant, and that is what defines our belonging. And our covenant is based on our values and our beliefs, not on our national or cultural identity. For us, belonging is about relationship. It is less about blood than it is about values. It is less about where you have been and more about where you want to go. It is about being with each other in good times and bad. I have a family, a husband and kids. We have each other's back, and that's how we know we are a family. Or at least that's how I know I'm in a family. I have to admit, my kids didn't really get to choose that family, did they? However, I have some very close friends, friends I call my chosen family. I have their back, and they have mine, and that's why I know they are family. I have this community. We have this community, a place where we have each other's back. And that is how we show that we belong together. We here at First UU fly two flags by our church door, Black Lives Matter and the Pride flag. Our congregation voted to do that because it is a way of telling the world what we value and hopefully reminding people who drive by our church that we believe it would be a good idea if they lived out those values too. We are also trying to tell LGBTQ folks and people of color that we are trying to be good allies, that we are doing our best to be welcoming. I have talked to people who drive by our church who smile when they see those flags or when we had the big banner on the wall. Fred Daly, who is the pastor at All Saints, told me that one of his congregants, an African-American woman, often drives by our church on her way to work, and our Black Lives Matter flag reminds her that there is good in this world. But not everyone always has that response. May Memorial also flies a pride flag for similar reasons that we do. Last Sunday, they found that someone had taken the flag down and burned it and left it on their property. Reverend Joe and their president, Stephanie Cross, called the police and filed a report. They let their people know what happened by email and by a Facebook post. So, of course, once the Facebook post was up, the media caught it, and then they were interviewed. And in those interviews, I think May Memorial gave a really good response. They are clear that they will not be stopped. A flag was up again by the next day. They are clear that the damage done to their church is minimal, and the LGBTQ folks have a lived experience that the world is a threatening place, and that makes it even more important to remain an openly welcoming place. Colleagues and other churches have offered support to May Memorial, and May Memorial is clear that they will continue their social justice work. The first Tuesday of each month at noon, they gather on their front lawn next to East Genesee Street, holding up signs that support love and acceptance, holding up signs that protest our government's current agenda. Now, if this were ever to happen to us, that someone destroyed one or all of our flags, I would have a similar response. This congregation has committed itself to be preemptively, radically inclusive. We're not there yet, but we are trying. That means not only do we welcome folks, not only do we invite folks, but we also think what it means to have people come here before they show up and to make a space for them. We make our building accessible. We provide food that is as allergy-free as possible. We have hearing assistive devices. We use microphones. We provide braille copies of hymns and inserts. We have gender-inclusive bathrooms. We put allergy-free soap in bathrooms, and on and on. It is in the detail, folks. The welcome is in the details. We are working hard at this, and we're pretty good. And we're trying to get better. And when you side with love, you cannot back down when hate shows up. This is when we remain firm with each other and with May Memorial. We have May's back, just like I know they would have ours, our back, if the situation was reversed. So what can we do to show May that we are with them? Well, I know where I will be on November 5th, Tuesday, November 5th at 12 noon. I will be at May Memorial's front lawn. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. And so I'm going to ask you to do something I never ask you to do in service. I'm going to ask you to take your phone out if you have a smartphone, and I'm going to ask you to look at your calendar and see what's on November 5th. If you have a daytime life, a work schedule or a life schedule that allows you to be somewhere other than your normal place on Tuesday, November 5th, I would love to see you show up at May Memorial. They usually have about 20 people come on a Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month. They get a lot of positive reactions. They get a lot of negative reactions. But what would it be like if 100 people showed up? What would that say to May? And what would that say to the larger community about what we value? So feel free to put that in your calendar as you're looking at it. Feel free to invite a friend or two or three to come with you. We do this because we are Unitarian Universalists. We know that there is more love somewhere,